narcissistic tendencies. Talk to me, ladies. This is the killer one I needed to ask you all. What do you think?
I think men are more narcissistic than women.
Yeah, are we more narcissistic?
I also think we're better at recognizing it in ourselves. And I mean, okay, we're not perfect, but a lot of women will at least try to get past it. Whereas a man is very, very often, not everyone, but very often narcissistic men just don't even get it. They don't even realize that they're narcissists.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They don't see the problem in being narcissistic. It's part of the persona. It's part of the boys' club. It's, you know, the guy that all the other guys look up to that don't have the guts to do it. You know, that's the funny thing about men. They're pack. They're in a pack. And unfortunately, the mentality of the pack is generally what stands up for them as their identity. That's the problem.
Yeah. I'm married to a guy right now who's a former Boy Scout. And he's not a narcissist. So I've dated people that were narcissistic. And I'll tell you, it's just really horrible.
Well, I did the Boy Scout thing for a lot of years, by the way. You'd be proud of me, Ava.
And, well, you score points with me right there.
I did the Cub Scouts. I did the Weebelows. I did the Boy
That's
Scouts.
Good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I even did the Naval Cadets, by the way.
That's good.
Yeah. So you didn't know that about me, did you?
No, that helps a man become a man. I think it's all good stuff.
Yeah, I did all those things. I don't talk about those things anymore. They're sort of in the past, but they're all part of life. They're all part of
this
thing.
They shaped you. They shaped you.
Yeah, exactly.
They do. Everything shapes you in this life and in this world. So you think, in general, that men are more narcissistic than women are. Everybody believes that, yeah?
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
We are now recording, so everything you say will be held against you in a court of law, so be careful.
I love men.
Started off with that. That's right.
Well, we just did start. That is the start of this show, ladies. And see, they don't even know when this thing is running, friends. And now you see what I have to put up with all the time here. So what about this thing? What can women do better than men? Or I'd like to vice versa that, if you don't mind. I'd like to also know what men can do better than women. And you know, I have to scratch my head a moment to think about that in all fairness, to think what we can do better. We really need to dive into this. This is going to be a topic today. In all full disclosure with you all, I've been looking forward to this topic all season long, because this is where really the whole gender thing comes in. I mean, this is, let's face it, this is it right here today.
This is where the rubber meets the road.
A lot of rubber here, too. This is Malcolm Out Loud, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. You're just listening there to our co-host today. Ava Armstrong joins us from the New England area, and also from Los Angeles, Barbara McGee, and from Monaco, Dr. Andrea Pennington, are the co-host today for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Folks, we are on the march to 100 shows, and we thank you for being part of this journey in this season. It has been an incredible ride, and the topics are just off the walls. I mean, we're just talking a moment ago here about some of the robots things that are happening. Some of this stuff is freaky, I gotta tell you. We got that topic coming up in the next few days. Show number 100. 100, if you can believe this. Airs this Sunday, so we want you to catch that and push it out there for us and tell the world. We have a big promotional push and campaign out there around the world, and we invite you all to connect in with us and see what we're talking about on this season. Get a load of what this is all about. We got some really interesting shows these next few days. You know how sometimes they always say you leave the best for last? Well, we've been doing the best all season long, but it's going to get a little more interesting, I think, in the next few days. So today, 7 things science says women do better than men is this one article that has got me a little bit here. I just looked at this a moment ago and said, wow, there's some actual science behind some of this. Well, we've all looked at some of this now, and we're thinking about it, and we kind of know, sort of, all of us know what, you know, women we think can do better than men. What's the, let's see if there's a consensus up front here, I wonder. What's the biggest thing? The biggest thing, and think about this, ladies, now, because remember now, we're helping all womankind out right now, okay? This is all womankind. It's a big deal. Okay, we're all representative of the human species. So tell, what's the one big thing that women just kill men on? What is it? Let's go first to Dr. Andrea, because I know you got an opinion.
Well, I'm not really sure I agree with the seven that were in this article, but the one thing I do agree with, and it's really boring, Malcolm, I'm sorry, but women are definitely better at seeing colors. I can't tell you the number of guys who come in with these outfits that are just mismatched. I don't know about you, Barbara, in the world of fashion, it kind of drives me a little bit nuts. I know it's trivial, but I had to put it out there.
So the colors, and I've heard that a lot. Barbara, you find that a lot in your business, right?
Yes, absolutely. Men do and are colorblind. But the funny thing about it is now we're doing stripes with the plaids and herringbone with all these different patterns. So anything kind of goes. So it saves guys right now.
Well, see, I was a creative director for the agency. I was a CEO creative director. And so I had to see color. I mean, color is part of the spectrum in what I see. Why can I see color and others can't?
Well, you know that you're from another planet. And you're tuned into a whole nother wavelength. I mean, let's be honest. Girls, am I right? I mean, Malcolm is not your typical man. You do see nuance. You do see color. And I mean, if you can tolerate 10 co-hosts, 10 women, I mean, obviously, you're not the average guy.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. What do you think, Ava?
Yeah, most guys would have been whining by now. I think that women definitely are more organized and cleaner than men.
Cleaner.
So, yeah, definitely.
Well, come on, cleaner, really? Now, yeah. I've got to tell you what, have you ever gone into a public ladies' restroom? I mean, that's a stupid
yes.
question to ask you all. I want to put this out there to all three of you. Here's my contest and my protest to all of you. Today, tomorrow, soon. Go into a ladies' public restroom, take a look all the way around, check it out, examine it. Take a couple of photographs even, okay? Then go into a men's public restroom and just tell them you're coming in so you don't get locked up or something, okay? But tell them you're coming in and go in and check that out. Then come back and report to me and tell me which restroom is cleaner, because I've seen both of those restrooms. You're asking me, well, how did you see the women's restroom, Malcolm? That's the next question coming, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Well, you know what you were up to.
Well, I didn't tell you about my cross-dressing, did I? Well, talk to me. I mean, do I have a point here with the restroom, or am I all just
no,
crazy?
No, the men's room is disgusting. Even though you've got a urinal and it's up on the wall, I mean, there's missage, there's spillage. People don't always flush. It's stinky. I don't know. I don't frequent them often, but I always feel grossed out. Those rare times when you're in a place when you're like, I just got to go. So I jump into the men's room. And it's gross. It's gross.
See, and that's how I've gotten into the women's room. You know those times where they have two restrooms and the men's is full because somebody's taking a serious program over there, you know? Guess which room I use next?
You'll use the woman.
And then I come out and they look at me and you know they're just staring you down when you come out. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I mean, of course.
And I just look at them back and I just salute them, you know, have a good day. Lovely. And and you gotta kind of wink at that point because it, you know, this whole transgender thing kind of changed the whole bathroom argument, didn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's like, you know, where can you go or what can you do? But, you know, let's face it, you know, sometimes, you know, nature calls you and you have to do what you have to do. And so.
But I was more thinking about like my husband's truck versus my car. My car is somewhat clean, but his truck looks like some animal lives in there.
the truck does, huh?
Definitely.
Of your husband's. Now, in my world, let me just say to you this. So the women in my world, the lady that I was married to for many, many years, her car was filth. I mean, disgusting. My car was spotless.
Mm. Wow.
Talk to me, ladies. Talk to me. I'm listening.
Now, Now that brings up a very interesting
point. Watch.
She's got to get in her last jabs.
Exactly.
Okay, well, here's the thought. When I was a girl, it was the man's responsibility to keep all the vehicles gassed up, cleaned up, polished up, and delivered to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what you've been told, but I'm expecting a clean car, and it comes
My, Barbara, you are high maintenance. I can tell that. If I dated you, my love, you are high maintenance. Let me tell you, I hope the journey is worth the ride. If I come out to L.A. and want to date you, is the journey worth the ride, Barbara McGee? I'm waiting. So here's the thing, Barbara, but the whole thing about the car, though, you know, I hear you, Barbara. There was a time when I did that, and I do get what you're saying. There's something about being a gentleman. There's something about holding the door. There's something about just, I mean, that's just the gender thing, isn't it, ladies? I mean, there are some protocols within our human beingness that we should be doing. And, you know, I don't think, I mean, let me, did the feminist movement destroy any of those things? I mean, did it rebuke any of that, or is that still in play today? I don't even know that. Is that vogue still today or no, ladies? These things that we're talking about.
I think to some extent there are going to be some of us, even if we are feminists, who appreciate a man who will open a door or carry our heavy suitcases. I don't think it's completely gone. I think that it's a minority of women who are like, no, I can do it myself.
Right.
I consider it foreplay.
Amen, sister. Oh, my golly. I could see that.
I do.
Wow. All right. So you do that for Ava and you know what's coming next, huh? So you kind of find, all right. So that's interesting because you all are sort of more modern open thinkers and feminists who are, I get that about you all. Barbara, you fall into that same camp, I think, maybe, or what?
Well, I think I'm really good at being a girl. I'm really good at all the attributes that are given to women, you know, and I've mastered that. And so I think that when I present that a man should present his own male persona, his best persona. I kind of expect that. I think when you're really good at who you are, I think that rises the best in others. And that's what I think about being a woman. I think being a great woman and developing yourself so that other people receive you well, I think is the best thing. And so when I feel like I'm being the best woman I could possibly be, I think a man should raise to that level, raise to my occasion. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I agree with that. Barbara, you are... I think, and as I've really discovered more about you through the whole season here, you are a kind of woman that's very adaptable, aren't you? You adapt to about every situation, don't you?
Well, I do my best to adapt to it, but I will tell you, mm-hmm. I have just started an adult etiquette course for young people. Now, they think they're taking a drama class, but I've decided that we have got to start mentoring our young people mm-hmm. so that they understand the magnification and the persona of their roles, how important they are, every aspect of them. And so I think that's what's missing. I think men who don't hold open the door, I don't think it's a feminist thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's lack of better knowledge, better education. I think that's really what it is.
Well, you know, for me, Barbara, ladies, I hold the door open for everybody.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
I absolutely hold the door open for people, too.
Before. That's just basic manners to me. So
right. Even
a gentleman who's walking up to the door, I've been known to hold the door open. Isn't that a polite thing to do as a human being, possibly?
Yeah.
Or do you quickly take a look at your radar and say, oh, that's a guy coming, let me slam the door shut, you know?
No, that's good human qualities of recognizing that we all deserve to be taken care of and looked after. It's not a matter of weakness.
I believe they appreciate that extra touch. I look at it as sort of an extra touch of kindness, you know, and it doesn't cost anything to be kind or take the extra mile or the extra minute and do something that's extraordinary for somebody. I
I pick up on the fact that Andrea and Ava are really, I consider you all, and Barbara, you're saying you're a little different, so I'm not quite sure, but I know you others, you're sort of what I look at more of the modern feminist, so that you've taken your best attributes and qualities. You know where you stand, you know how to use them, but you also know how to be a woman when that is qualified and needed, but you can certainly be in the boardroom and put the pants on and kick as much ass as you need. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's a good description.
Am I right, Ava? I'm not being a fresh guy here. Am I right?
No, you're right.
Yeah, it's about just fully integrating our feminine and our masculine energies. And yeah, when we have to kick ass and take names, we know how to do it. But just like Barbara said, I know how to be the girl in the relationship. I know how to receive and not always be in that go, 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 take, take, take mode.
Right, right. See, this is my style person right here that we're speaking about. I could date any one of you and be thrilled. You know that? Not that you'd want me, but I could absolutely.
I'm not passing up on a pass. I don't know what about you girls.
Barbara, do you remember that show, The Dating Game? I kind of feel like I'm on that or something sometimes on this freaking show, you know. And behind door number two, bachelor number, all right, bachelorette number. That was kind of a cool program. What's that? They don't do that anymore, do they?
It was reruns of that. But I think the new show that I'm into is The Love Connection, where either you date someone and it's worked out and there's like synergy, or will you take the $10,000 and take the new guy?
You know what? You know what, Barbara? Yeah, I just got a brainstorm. Andrea, Ava, listen to this. God, this is a brainstorm. I want to host the new dating game.
Uh-oh.
I like this. Andrea, I could host this game. I'm telling you, I can do this. This season has prepared me for unbelievable things. Dealing with you 10 women all year long, this has prepared me for awesome things ahead.
Well, we'd get incredible ratings on a show like that, where people could kind of come on and you lead them through the questions and then they get hooked up and it's like, are you going to take guest number one or guest number two or guest number three? And then we send them on a fabulous date somewhere.
Oh, and I love it.
It could be fun.
That could be huge, to say the least. That could be a really big show. But I need a strong female involved in this and a producer. And who's volunteering here?
Oh, I would love to. Because, you know, I'm in the land of the great looking people. And then
But the funny thing is, Barbara, nobody will be able to see each other because it's voice only. I think it would add a whole, you know, freaky, mysterious element. That we
what
have
about
to
the lady
off.
Who sounds really good, but you know she doesn't look the best? You know who I'm. You know this kind of people I'm speaking. They got like the sensuous voice, but yet, you know, she's got body odor and she's got problems. I mean, what about that gal?
Ooh.
Well, come on, let's be real. So, hold
she's
on.
She's better
now.
Than a robot.
And well, everybody needs love.
Yeah, but robots don't have body odor. And everybody needs love, Andre, but that doesn't mean I have to love them.
Well, you're just the host. You're the host.
All right.
We're hooking people up on the dating show. You just have to be the host.
So I can't take the candy out at night, huh?
No. You were thinking this is going to be your hookup show, it works?
I'm just looking at this as a new dating program for me. What's that? Come on, ladies. Help me here, please.
Well, you know
I know what the prize can be. If the woman doesn't want to date the guy that she's talking to on your show, then she can take door number two, and that's going to be you.
Ah, see, there's the twist. I like this. And Barbara could promote the hell out of this one.
Well, you guys are very, very funny. But you know what? It's surprising how many people are going on hookup dates like this.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
surprising to know that. I mean, in San Francisco, the number one thing, we used to, you know, dance and go to the bars and dance.
Right.
All the time. But these guys go to speed dating.
You
know, you've got just 60 people and 3 minutes to meet everybody. You know, it's very interesting. Or online where you're with an absolute stranger. I mean, you know what I mean?
I prefer the speed dating to that.
Yes, it's very funny. And then you wonder when the girl's missing, oh, well, did you check him out? You know, we used to do credit checks on men. I mean, it was so funny.
Ooh.
every girlfriend had a girlfriend at the bank, you know? And the bank girlfriend would always come to lunch, and then she would get the information, and we'd run the credit check.
The problem with the credit check, Barbara, is some men put their money under the mattress.
Oh, well, that's what we used to do. I guess that was pre-gold digger.
Well, no, I mean, some men don't. I mean, some people, I have people like that I know who, like, they have, like, lots of money, but they're, like, careless up front. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
But that doesn't make them entirely a bad choice, does it, Andrea?
No, it doesn't make them necessarily a totally bad choice. But, I mean, we're going to encourage women to really be clear about what they want, right? I mean, there's the sensational element of having the fun and the excitement of being on a show and whatever and the hookup. But come on, you know, there does come a point where you really have to have your standards in check. You know, do you want a person who's completely broke or, you know, what other checks are we going to do? How do we know that they're not in another relationship or have a whole nother family? I don't know.
Wow, I am just dreaming of this show right now. I just went into La La Land, ladies, dreaming of what this could my new future life and career as the host of The Dating Game. Wow.
You'd have to give it an updated name, though. It would have to be.
What would that be? Think about that. We got to pause here, but think about the name of what this thing has gone. Just think about it, everybody. This is important. Just think about how you're going to help me out in my life. And you know what else? And I know, Andrea, you're thinking of this too. Think of all the other people we can help. And you know why we can help them? Because we are the closest thing to common sense that you've ever heard in your life out there.
I don't know if it's common sense, but we are definitely giving people a couple of 2 cents around the world. We have so many different perspectives, and I definitely have heard some things that were not common coming out of some of the co-hosts' mouths.
That's true. All right. So let's just say we have a lot of sense. Some of it's weird sense. Some of it maybe not so much, but that's what we love about life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. This show has just been incredibly groundbreaking, friends. And today you're listening to, again, the great Ava Armstrong, we say, the fantastic Barbara McGee, and the awesome Dr. Andrea Pennington, just amazing co-host of this show. It was one of the most clever projects I think I've ever been engaged with for a lot of reasons. And we've done some serious talk here, and we've had some fun as well. And I hope you've taken it all as that and you've used some of these little tidbits of wisdom, maybe. Maybe some of the sarcasm, which, of course, I love sarcasm. And you've used it in your own life in some way that's maybe improved that, I hope. I really do hope that. Show number 100 airs this Sunday, and the season will wrap up. We have already started, by the way, looking for who will be in season 2 this November. Stay right there. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. We are talking about 7 things that scientifically have been proven that we women do much better than men. With me today is Ava Armstrong and Barbara McGee, and of course, Malcolm Out Loud. So ladies, one of the things that this article about the 7 things that science says women do better than men is deal with pain. This one I have to totally agree with. I think that men become these little sissy baby crying guys when they get like sick or they have something that's more than just a stubbed toe. What's been your experience?
Yes. Well, I'd like to see a man have a baby. You know what I mean? I mean, that is the coup de grace.
Barbara, I volunteer for that. I volunteer. I will be the first man. If you can get that out of me, I'll do it.
I mean, just think about it. You know, the sacrifice we go through to bring forth life. Yes. And then what happens after, because really they're tied to us for their life. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. God created this whole thing. And, you know, we don't have really a choice. It is what we do, what we are made for. And it is pain driven. And guess what? We do it well.
Yep. So true. And I mean, there are other things that we deal with on an ongoing basis, you know, from, you know, the monthly cycles and what have you. But I think the other thing about women having a higher tolerance for pain, I think it's also because we are nurturing caregivers. We learn to suck it up, you know, because if mama is sick, then the whole family falls apart. So we tend to suck it up when there's a painful problem going on inside of us, and we push on through to keep things moving. Whereas men, it's like they want to just crawl in the bed and pull the covers over their head.
I've had those days. Ava, how do you deal with pain?
Well, I'm pretty tough most of the time. My husband, however, if he gets ill, I just have to tend to him like a nurse. I mean, it's true. I mean, I think men are just not used to dealing with illness. So, you know, if he gets the flu, it's usually a big production.
Now, hold on. Let's talk about what you just said. And Andrea, Barbara, I think Ava was onto something just now. Men usually, it's not, you're kind of making them out to be like inferior creatures to pain, like wimps or, you know, whatever. But I actually think what you just said, Ava, is really the reason. We tend to ignore pain. We tend to put it off a lot. We push it off. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, shit, this is, you know, is there anything there or am I just stretching?
That's part of it, too. They don't like to admit that they're having pain, for one thing. And that usually makes things worse. When you won't go to the doctor, like if I know my husband's sick and he's getting an infection and I say, honey, you need to go to the doctor. No, I'm not going. And then, you know, by the time he goes to the doctor, he's dying, of course. So
exactly, exactly. I relate to him.
The other piece of this too, though, women generally deal with the children in the family as far as bringing them to doctor visits. I don't know a lot of guys in my realm of friends that do that. So it usually falls to the woman to bring her children to the doctors. And it just seems like women deal with I think women make better doctors too, I'm just throwing that out there, but they tend to be more empathetic. They tend to be more, you know, in touch with what's going on, the details of the thing.
Yeah, I like women doctors, and I don't mind them servicing me, if you will. What I don't kind of like is when they're looking at my parts. You understand?
Sure.
Yeah. I have, because at that point, I want to have sex with them. You understand? So it's not a good program.
Well, I'm sure you probably have very interesting, you know, parts too. So maybe, you know.
Well, but that's what I mean. Does that mean? I mean, I'm not being a pig here. I'm just saying that kind of is a bit of a turn on. And yeah, let's talk, man. It's embarrassing. If you're a guy, you can't hide the fact that you're aroused. With a woman, you can hide that a bit. Okay, come on, let's be real. So with a guy, if you sit there in the room and you've got this gorgeous doctor and this is happening and all of a sudden you've got a heart on, you got a problem here, don't you?
Well, she might just think you're very healthy.
Well, or she might think you're a pig. Dr. Andrea, talk to me.
No, well, all of the physicians and nurses I've worked with who've had that experience, we know it's natural. I mean, unfortunately, for most men, you guys tend to be visual. So yes, if you happen to see a hot woman, a hot nurse, a hot doctor, and then, oh, you're dropping your pants, that little link in your brain between drop your pants, get an erection, it's pretty natural.
It's so pretty natural. And you know what else is? When you have a massage.
But how about this, though? So I go to the other place, right?
Are you still on that trip you had to the massage parlor there, lady?
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
Listen, they give me this lady. She comes out from the back, Gertrude. Okay, so now Gertrude, now mind you, the hour is late. Gertrude is 4 feet tall, and she is as wide as the door. So I just got a glimpse of her because, you know, you're supposed to be face down. And she kept saying, keep your face down. and she would pop me on my shoulder. So I would keep my face down, so I didn't really see what was happening. But at one point...
Did she have the hand on the crack of your ass?
I believe Gertrude...
Talk to me, Barbara. Did she?
Get this. Gertrude was hanging from the ceiling, walking on my back.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because they had... I didn't even see they had these trellises. Like, she was doing this acrobatic thing. My face was down, so I couldn't see it, but it was the show of life. I think it was very interesting what went on that night.
All right. So we've gotten totally sidewinged here with this massage thing, which, by the way, and this is, I think, whose fault was this, Andrea or Barbara? I don't remember. Anyways.
Barbara.
Okay, Barbara. We'll throw her under the bus. But interesting story. But back to this, what can women do better than men or men better than women? So it's safe to say, then, based on what we just spoke about, that men can give better massages than women.
Yeah, I'd say it's like 50-50, probably.
Well, unless you're Gertrude or whatever that lady's name was that walked in with Barbara.
Gertrude's doing something else. Okay.
Yeah. Well, she takes steroids. I mean, that's the thing. She's probably got some of the muscle in her hands, right?
Oh, geez. Gertrude's doing something else. I don't know what that was.
Yeah,
but
we don't even want to. We know your trip.
I have to add something to this list, though.
What?
That is actually true.
Yeah.
Women are more sensual than men.
Ah, more erroneous zones. Talk to us about that, Dr. Andrea.
I think you're right, Ava. I think when a woman allows herself to be fully present and into that erotic zone, she can be a lot more sensual. I think, again, it kind of comes back to what we were talking about, how men are just visual. They get turned on, pop it in, get off.
Oh, whereas stop woman, right there. You are not speaking for the whole species that way, young
no,
lady.
No, I'm not.
You are so wrong. There are those men of us who can outlast the women. Let's be really clear. And it's the women who are not able to stand the test of time. And that's a fact. I have not met a woman yet who can stand up to what I can put out there. Now, on that note, we're going to pause right there and come back with this conversation in just a moment. Hang loose. We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Now, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is 100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, it's, I'll tell you what, 90-plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally, and I think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy, you'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus, you'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you. Well, we have really turned the canoe over on this one, but I think this show was needed. It was needed for a lot of reasons, mostly because I've been a really, really good boy in recent days and weeks here on the show. And you know, the ladies have been as well. And the last time we had a real full-throttle show like that, as I remember, Dr. Andrea was involved in that show as well.
Yep.
I think you're the catalyst, Andrea.
Oh, come on.
She has that sexy voice.
Yeah, let's just accept responsibility for where your mind goes naturally.
All right. So you're listening to Dr. Andrea Pennington, Barbara McGee, and Ava Armstrong, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Folks, let me just take a quick moment and tell you that we are approaching show number 100 this Sunday. It has been an absolutely remarkable season. We have done so much with this season. It's, again, an incredible body of work, and one that I am very, very proud of. And the women have been absolutely extraordinary. Now, listen, we've poked a little bit. We've had a little bit of fun. I hope you've taken it as fun. We've had a lot of serious moments as well. We've talked about some serious topics, ladies. We've talked about some real tough things, some lifting, some things like suicide, things like, you know, inspiration and furthering your life to do better, be better. But we've talked about some heavy things in life, you know, we've talked about relationships, the gender stuff, you know.
Yeah, and we're basically, we are holding fast and true to the mission of America Out Loud, letting the silent voices be heard, having intelligent conversations, and really being inclusive of all viewpoints without being too biased in any partisan sort of way. And I think what's good about that, Malcolm, is that all of these kinds of conversations, from the crazy to the deeply spiritual to the horny, is that's what life is. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. If we stick with the icky media, the traditional media, which is all full of doom and gloom, we start to think that that's all of life. So I'm actually proud of what you've been doing here, or what we have been doing here
at
America Out Loud, because we're letting people see that life still goes on. There's still good in the world. We don't always agree, but we can be fair, we can be honest, we can be authentic, and I love that.
And we have humor. We can put something that's very serious out there and show people how to disagree and still have humor and still come back onto another subject. We're still intact. Nobody has gone awry because we don't agree. And I think that is what we need to master in America. And there are other shows on America Out Loud that give perspective as well.
Amen.
And Dr. Andrea has The Weekend.
Both the weekdays and the weekend. She has a show, Barbara, called Liberate Your Authentic Self. And the show is nothing short of spectacular. Ava, you've listened to it?
Yes, I have. I love it.
Yeah, isn't she great? I mean, she's awesome, man. And so she's got...
I would listen to her just to hear her voice.
Oh, but see, I told you, she had a crush on you early on, Andrea.
She has an incredible voice. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Thank you. I may have missed my calling. I should have been one of those 1-900 operators.
Well, we still have time for that, Andrea. So don't count that out yet. We can do that on the network here somewhere.
You have to do what makes you happy.
Amen.
And you can't feel guilty about it. And I had this discussion last year with my husband, and I said, you know, I need to live on the water. And he's like, yeah, right. Like, we can afford that. So this is going to sound really strange. We took a drive, and it was Memorial Day weekend. This is a year past Memorial Day weekend. So we were driving in the car, and we went and visited one of his friends who just built these beautiful remote cabins on a lake. And they were all new build, you know, beautifully done. And I said, oh, God, I want to live here, honey. I really, really want to live here. And we were driving home that day, and he said to me, I don't want to live that far out. It's really, really remote. And as we were driving home, there was a realtor's sign, and he just took the right and drove down the road where the realtor's sign was. And we kept driving and driving, and it came to this dead-end road on this beautiful lake. It's where I'm living now. And my husband pulled into the driveway, and he pulls his cell phone out. And I said, what are you doing? I said, we can't afford to live here. And he calls the realtor, and he says, I'm sitting in the driveway at this address, and I'd like to see this home. So she's very responsive and said, yeah, sure, I'll be right out. How long do you have today? He said, well, today's kind of the end of the day, so how about tomorrow? Great, meet you there tomorrow. And then from there, we ended up buying the place. So, this is how things happened. It sounds very random, but I planted the seed, it seemed like, and then he just made it grow. And it, you know, it just happened.
Hey, that's a beautiful story, by the way. that's a great story. And you obviously got the right price, right?
Yes, it needed renovation. This is a cottage. It was originally built as a summer cottage.
Right.
And so we had to renovate a lot. And I did my due diligence, mm-hmm. you know, and did my inspections and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I kept thinking, oh, I'll never be able to afford this place. But the guy that owned it was very willing to go along and reduce the price. And he really wanted us to have it. And he was just a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's really bizarre about this whole story, the day we drove by and my husband saw the sign and pulled in, the realtor had just posted the sign out there. And it was only out there for that one day because the association I live in is very tiny and private. And they do not allow signs out on the main road. So that sign was there for one day.
Wow.
I just want you to know how weird this is, okay?
Well, do you think, Andrea, Barbara, do you think that some things are just meant to be?
Well, I think actually that what we just heard, and I want my listening audience to really hear this, because if you have someone special in your life, what Ava said was very important. It wasn't necessarily the right price. What she had was the right guy, the right relationship that could, that was more interested in her happiness because her happiness was their happiness. And I think that is where we miss the boat. And many times we get with people in our lives, whether they're friends or family or whomever, that we use as confidants for our secrets. The secret that I must live by the ocean, I must live by the water, that would be better for me. And when we give that information over to someone who doesn't cherish us and our happiness, then that's when we're discouraged, and that's when everything is off.
That's so true. He made it happen. My husband made it happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I had the same experience in my life, and I don't know if I would say it was definitely meant to be, but from the moment I heard my mother and my brother speaking French, I was probably 10 years old, maybe 11, I felt drawn to France. So I feel like it was meant to be. I feel like there was something in my soul that called me to this place. And when I first started to visit in my teens and then in my 20s, I just felt like I have to live here. And this idea that we can manifest, we can make our vision come into reality like you did, Ava. For me, I remember holding a vision of me laying on the beach, you know, on the French Riviera. And I just, every time I brought that image to mind, my whole body would change. I could feel myself come alive. And then sure enough, shortly thereafter, it came true for me. And it was the perfect timing. So I almost feel like, yeah, it was meant to be. But we have to be willing to say yes to it, to see the signs, and to take action.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the key to the whole thing. And there are times that doesn't happen, Andrea, because we get caught up in the past. You see?
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
don't know how to let certain things go. I know because I'm speaking from experience. You know, I pride myself on being a forward-looking guy. I never thought I was one that lived in the past, and I don't. But sometimes you compromise things in your life, and sometimes you do it to be a good guy, but there are times you do it too much, and then it takes away from your own life and your own quality. And back to what you just said, I think, I don't know if it was Bob or Ava said something about that, you know, it's your life, that you have to live your life to the fullest, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Children are very resilient, and they will cope with whatever you put them into. So yeah, I think that I wouldn't even be worried about the school so much. I would be more concerned about your longevity staying in the next place you move.
Right.
Because really, happiness comes from that. I mean, when you're really happy in a place, you'll stay there for a long, long time.
See, when you just said that, Ava, it strikes a major nerve with me, as it is a lot of our listeners I know right now. It's striking a nerve with them, too. When you say these words, when you are really, really happy, Think about that a moment. Focus on this a second, folks, when you are really, really happy. How many times in your life, and even at this very moment, can you say to yourself, I am really very, very happy? That's a big question. Now, I think if I asked Ava that question, you would probably say, yes, Ava?
Yes,
you, I am. You're at your point of life, yeah. Barbara, are you very, very happy?
I could be happier.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I thought so.
But I am happy. Yes.
Right. Well, you're generally a happy person. You're not a miserable person, so that would explain that. I get that answer, but I know you're striving for more in life. Andrea, how about yourself?
I am. I am truly happy.
Yeah, you're at a good point too. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, it took me almost 40 years to get happy. So, I mean, yeah. You know, you have to think about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, being happy is really the important thing, I think. It's something we all need to reach for. And it can be a struggle. It can be a real struggle what we're saying here is I'm not talking about surface happy. I'm talking to be genuinely happy and true to yourself. That kind of takes a little bit of, perseverance, but also self-commitment to yourself, you see?
Yeah, discovery and a willingness to go deep and to even look into your shadow, look into the ugly parts, to face them so that you can love yourself and be truly happy.
I love that. I love you say that, Andrea, but I don't think a lot of folks get that.
No, but that's why we have to talk about it. Because if people continue to look for their happiness outside of themselves, through the next job, or the next car, or the next wife, or through drugs, or alcohol, or sex, or food, they're always going to come up feeling empty and unfulfilled. So we have to talk about the true road to happiness, and that is truly knowing who you are and loving who you are, so that no matter what's going on in the outside world, you can still feel that sense of joy to be a divine being on this planet. Even if it is a little crazy, you can still be happy in the midst of that.
Right. Happiness is an inside job.
Amen.
Why don't you write
a column on that, Ava? I like that. Happiness is an inside job. Would you give me the roadmap to that, will you please? That's an interesting, tell me the tips and the ideas and the thoughts on what that means, Ava. That's a big deal. I think you're onto something, but happiness is an inside job. Very fascinating. Can I talk to you ladies a moment about some of the other interesting things on this list here as we have moments left here? I do want to talk to you about this. I find very interesting on this list that Andrea had mentioned coming into this segment is, you know, very interesting, theoretically, get to Mars. There's another thought here. I find that very fascinating. And the reason is, they're saying the NASA Mars study participant, Kate Green, suggested that the all-female crew for the mission would be better off to get to the red planet. And the reason, get a load of this, folks, because women require less food and expend fewer calories, making them more efficient to make this journey. What do you think of that, ladies?
Yeah, that's a biological difference. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You're not getting me to go to Mars.
That's my next question, Barbara, to you is, would you go to Mars?
No. You're not getting me to go to Mars and leave my Mother Earth like my father said, when they went to the moon, he said, that they are doing a simulcast straight from Nevada. He never believed they went to Nevada.
Right. A lot of people think that. That's right. But, of course, a lot of people think if you're going to Mars, you're not coming back, you know?
Exactly.
It's a one-way trip. Yeah, yeah. Andre, would you go to Mars?
I don't know if I'd go to Mars. I would certainly be willing to fly into outer space somewhere. But no.
You'd probably want to look at the calculated risk here, huh?
Oh, I just don't think that Mars is a hospitable place. So, I mean,
well,
not
from the
cool
pictures we've seen. It doesn't look like the spa or the massage that I'm looking for.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what's behind door number two, but door number one and three kind of suck, from what I see. Yeah, it doesn't look real inviting, does it?
No, the only way I would go is if Elon Musk paid for it.
Oh, please. Here we go. We can't do a show without Elon Musk coming up. He's a you hate Elon Musk. Get out of here, Ava.
Well, yeah. I just don't like his blood sucking, money grubbing.
Yeah. Politics. Well, a lot of people are getting a little edgy with Elon these days. He seems to be edging a lot of people off. What do you think about this number four on this list, invest? What do you think of, are women better investors than men? That's what you're suggesting here. Come on.
Talk. I would have never believed that. You
I wouldn't
so,
have either.
Ava?
Oh yeah. That's for sure.
Oh.
Why?
Well, because women, generally in the past, women, you know, it was the sense that the man brought the check home and that the women ran the household budget and kind of knew where all the finances were. And that creates the honing in on being more frugal, being more safe, being more nesting, being more responsible.
See, I don't know the guys you folks have been with, but I not only had to bring the check in, but I had to do the budget and the rest of it. Who are you people with? I mean, I don't even know where this is, but it's not me.
Oh, wow. Well, hey.
She didn't look at any finances. She didn't do shit. I had to do everything.
Wow. She wasn't a participant in the situation.
Well, so, I mean, I wish she did. I would like not to be doing that. I hate budget. I hate that part. I'm not a math guy. I'm a creative, you know, the left brain, right brain kind of thing, you know?
Oh, exactly. But just think about it, though.
Yeah.
That is the person who is taking care of that is more likely to be less aggressive.
Barbara, if I come out to L.A., would you do my budget?
I will help you immensely.
You know, I can picture Malcolm living in Malibu for some reason.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, baby. That's at Pacific Palisades.
What do you think, Andrea? Is Malibu an option or what?
I think it would be beautiful. I think you could have a nice life out there. Hmm. It's, you know, it's not as crazy as some of the other areas in L.A. It's beautiful. You'd still have the water, you know. Yeah. Malibu could be sexy.
It could be sexy and interesting. I was waiting for my invitation to Monaco.
Well, as soon as I'm not flying all over the place, you can come and visit for sure. I just got a busy summer with all this family travel.
You do. We got to all get to Monaco, huh, Barbara? Ava? Let's have the rendezvous in Monaco this shot, you know?
Let's
do it. Let's go to Cannes.
What's the difference between self-confidence, real confidence, and a narcissist?
Oh, my husband exudes this, okay? He's confident in his abilities. And I think being a Boy Scout, and he grew up in poverty, and I think he had to become a young man at a very young age. He had become a real man, and he took care of his family and stuff. So I think there's something about him. It's really hard to even describe. He knows who he is. And there's like nobody that could talk him into something or change, you know, his mind. Mm-hmm. He has a set of standards, and he just knows who he is. He's confident in who he is. And he's very gentle. He's a big guy. He's a, you know, I mean, most people are terrified when they look at him. He has a shaved head, and he's a big bodybuilder type guy. And they all think he's a Navy SEAL because I wrote a book about that. But he's not a Navy SEAL. Mm. But he has that look. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wears the sunglasses, and, you know, people just look at him like, oh, my God, he looks like he could kill somebody. But he's the most gentle giant.
Yeah, it usually works that way, Ava.
He's so sweet. I mean, people just would, you know, they would never believe how sweet he is.
Well, but you know, appearances are not always what they seem, right? I mean.
Right, right.
That's a classic case of that. I mean, he's somebody that, you know, you can't always judge a book by its cover is what I'm saying, yeah?
Exactly.
You know?
It's true.
Andre, would you answer that, please? I really want to hear your opinion on the confidence factor versus the narcissist, please.
Well, confidence is just an attitude. It's a state of being, whereas a narcissist is self-absorbed. They think that the entire world revolves around them, that they are the most important thing, and they would suck out all the oxygen in a room that they walk into. So their confidence is typically a false confidence. It's based on this puffed up belief that they are some kind of godlike creature. Whereas if someone is truly confident about their abilities or their skills, or, you know, things like that, that can be very healthy. But true narcissism is not a healthy personality state.
I love what we do here on this planet. I love the opportunities we get and the joy, and I love the things we're doing at America Out Loud. Dr. Andrea and I have been talking a lot in recent days about our vision and the mission of America Out Loud. Ava and I have as well, and Ava has put together she was kind enough just the other day to write a fabulous press release for me that we have pushed out there now across the nation and the world, telling folks about this magical show that we call Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. It's a show where we are real, can be real, can ask the tough questions, can reflect a mirror back on ourselves, kind of, sort of, laugh at ourselves, yeah, and just bring it home and forward. And the other day, Dr. Andrea asked me a question. She said, Malcolm, everything we're doing with Life, Liberty, do you see this as a reflection of America Out Loud? And I heard her, and I paused a quick second. I said, absolutely. It is absolutely what America Out Loud is. Let the silent voices be heard. This platform, the network, the attraction of what it is and the message, and like Barbara said a moment ago, the variety of shows and the programming and the uniqueness. Now, we have bloggers and phenomenal columnists. I mean, some of the great military leaders, law enforcement leaders, cool people, society, cultural. It's all there, talking about the most interesting things you could possibly want to know about. And the people have been extraordinary. And the host and the team and the people we have. And the producer of this show, Beverly Butler, has her own show, The Misdiagnosed Life. And she's done incredible work. She's been so kind to produce this show. And we got her involved in this for a lot of reasons. I wanted a woman's perspective and that I can bounce off of and somebody I trusted. And she was there and she said, yeah, I'll take this thing and do it. And she's done it. And I couldn't have asked for better co-hosts to make this show what it is. So again, the next few days, keep tuning in. Season one runs in its entirety. You'll continue to hear Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure at 5 p.m. every day. And 11 p.m. is the encore. That will stay true. If you want to hear the crazy, crazy story about the massage trip, and oh boy, it's a doozy, and you want to hear a little bit about this massage thing, It's a story I probably didn't realize I was going to share on national radio, right? But I shared it. Yeah. So it gets a little personal, but it's fascinating. It's called Bonus Footage. And just look for this show, that the things that women can do better than men. You'll see it on there. You'll see it right at America Out Loud, the Bonus Footage. My friends, thank you for being part of this journey, and thank you for putting Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure high on the list. We appreciate you, appreciate your time, and being part of this cool trip here we're having here. So it's been a lot of fun here. Barbara McGee, Ava Armstrong, Dr. Andrea Pennington. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.